Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Underline. It is a new week of the show. Feels good to be back. Such a great weekend I have had. I know you guys are wondering, why in the world am I playing Incredibles theme song? So Incredibles 2, very good movie, I must say. Very good movie. I kind of figured that it would be. It's been a while. I haven't seen Incredibles. First one since it came out, and that was years ago. And the way that's so long, such a good movie. One of the top movies of the year to me. I haven't seen a lot of movies this year, but that at least tells you. But today's show focused on some NBA. I would definitely get to baseball. I watched a lot of baseball this weekend. And I have to get on something that Rich Eisen said on NFL Network. I saw the video this morning. I should have got the audio for you guys, for those that needed to hear. I thought that Incredibles 2 was such a great movie. And same with the first one. I thought it was just a great storyline in this one, just like the first one. And I was very happy that I didn't see this. A lot of movies that could have been watched, and decided to choose this one. Basically, Mr. Incredible left to take care of the kids while Helen, aka Elastigirl, is out saving the world. It's pretty good. Pretty good storyline. I would buy this, and I recommend it. You know, and I know they probably would tease me, oh, you're such a big kid and all this stuff. I was teasing people. But I knew it would have been good. So I recommend it. You know, I know it took 14 years. And there we go. And 14 years. And they finally came with a number 2. Didn't think they'd make a number 2. But, you know, the same thing happened to Toy Story 3. It took a long time. And it was great. Just a lot, really, to get to today, though. I just had to throw my 2 cents, my 2 minutes on this movie, and just to recommend it. Let's start with Zach LaVine. Mr. LaVine decided to match, well, the Bulls decided to match Zach LaVine's 4-year, $78 million offer sheet from the Kings. They have signed a restricted free agent. And this happened Friday night. And we talked about, remember we were talking about this Friday night, and like, okay, that would be very interesting. I wanted the Bulls to match this offer because I love this Bulls young team. Wendell Carter is now part of this young crew who can play. Wendell Carter is a pretty good basketball player. And I'm telling you guys, the Bulls could make a push to make the playoffs next year if they stay healthy. If Zach LaVine can stay healthy with the ACL tear, or surgery per left knee, left ACL, whatever you want to call it. The Bulls are definitely going to match this anyway. He did, and LaVine spent Wednesday meeting with the Kings. You know, in California, in Sacramento. I'm happy for the Bulls. You know, I was hoping that they came through just knowing that this team is in need of some talent. And they have some good talent. Like, don't get me wrong. It was 27-55 last season. Chris Dunn missed some time. Justin Holiday pretty much started every game and had himself a good year. Markkanen missed some time. Well, I mean, Justin Holliday did miss time too, but it was 10 games. Don't have a guy who played a 482, but Denzel Valentine, I think, played the most. You know how talented he is. They have very good players on this team. If I'm Chicago, I feel great. If I am living in Chicago, if I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, I feel great. Contract negotiations often feature bumps in the road, frustrations. And, you know, quickly are forgotten when the ink dries on the signed deal. You know, and that's just how it goes. This is as much to do with the price of a rebuild as what LaVine may be worth. You know, unless they think that they can get KD and Klay Thompson in 2019 free agency, which I don't believe they are anyway. They're not going to let those young guys go away. Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine's, you know, Markkanen, Wendell Carter they just got, Denzel Valentine, Nwaba, Cameron Payne, and they just got Jerian Grant, Portis. I mean, those all are good young talent that they have on the team. They don't have a big-time star, but they're hoping that Zach LaVine can be that guy. He's an athletic 23-year-old trying to be the face of the rebuild. You know, they got rid of Jimmy Butler, traded him to the Timberwolves. And he knows, he's just so excited about getting better. He's a team-first type of player. That's just the way he is. The positive momentum of the rebuild is that Lauri Markkanen has a potential franchise cornerstone, and then you added two potentially solid first-round draft picks by not matching. You know, why slow it down? So I'm glad they did it. You know, you look at restricted free agents, Aaron Gordon, 4-year, $84 million from the Magic. Didn't think they were going to do it, but they did it. And they want to make sure, the Bulls want to make sure they're in, their future is looking bright. You know, I know Jimmy Buckets rejected a 4-year, $44 million extension, won at the MIP award, you know, signed a deal for $50 million more, which was with Minnesota. Now has that contract. You saw LaVine being part of that trade. This team will be fun to watch. I can't wait to watch some hoops. For the sake of a lot of young players. You know, I think Zach LaVine is definitely well deserved of this contract. And now it's like, what are the Kings going to do? Because now it looks like they're going to be looking at Rodney Hood. Being targeted, you know, after they couldn't get Zach LaVine. They can pay him. Rodney Hood could get that money. He averaged 14.7 points a game, 3 rebounds, 1.5 assists. And that was mostly off the bench. I'm sure Sacramento would love to have that. 25-year-old. I know you want to talk about, okay, he was on the Cavs. He struggled. You know, he was a key role player. That was what he was. He had a 15-point performance in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. He was ready to go. Vane was only limited to 24 games last season and had a good year, good numbers in his 24 games playing. 16.7, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And, you know, the Kings are really looking forward to this because they had young backcourt. They already got De'Aaron Fox, who was the future of the Sacramento Kings. Got Buddy Hield. Got to see what you're going to do. Bogdan Bogdanovich really stepped up this year. But I know that the Kings are showing interest. Played shooting guard for the Jazz and the Cavs last season. You know, the Kings are able to get Marvin Bagley, the second pick of the draft. Got second-year player Justin Jackson at the small forward. They got a number of guards. Talked about Bogdanovich. You know, he can fill the position. Get wingman Mario Hjonsa. Need that small forward position. Who did end up accepting a 1-year contract with the Knicks for less money than what the Kings offered. Maybe he feels like it's something with the Kings that he can get. I think Rodney Hood should go there. Let me throw the number out, 949-270-5945. I know this is not one of the hottest topics to really discuss, but just to have the number for future references for the latter part of the show. Because I know I want to talk about Chicago Bulls, nobody want to talk about Sacramento, but I want to do something different. Sick of talking to Lakers, sick of talking Golden State, sick of it. And, you know, we talked about just what teams had a big-time interest in LaVine. The Atlanta Hawks had an interest. The Lakers had an interest before they got LeBron James. You know, we talked about LaVine making a trip to Sacramento, you know, to meet with the medical staff, the front office. I think Divac's still over there. You know, the Jabari, Marcus Smart, Nurkic still doesn't have deals. We talked about Jokic signing the max deal in Denver. The most LaVine could have got was 5 years, $448 million. And that was the same contract that Wiggins got in Minnesota. And LaVine, and it's funny, I just seen a stat, got this stat, that LaVine has had his best nights against Sacramento. They have seen him work. They have seen him play. They have seen him in action on their home court, and even when they were going to Minnesota, and when he was playing with Chicago. We've seen it. The Bulls will be a very exciting team to watch. Mark my words, for those that don't like to watch teams that just not that great, not great at all. I'll tell you this, I am excited. But now, I must talk about Chris Paul. And you can chime in. Throw a number out, 949-270-5945. Because I think this is a horrible contract. 4 years, $160 million. Dollars. A lot of money. A lot of it. Chris Paul has averaged 18.6 points a game, 8 assists, 5.5 rebounds, and 1.6 block shots a game last season for the Rockets. They did lose in 7. He got hurt. The Rockets were 50-8 in games when Chris Paul played during the regular season, 23-2 when he scored at least 20 points. I guess that's why he's gotten that money. I still think that's wrong. He was ranked 6th in NBA in assists, 11th in steals, 2nd in free throw percentage with a 92% accuracy rate. In March, Chris Paul recorded his 2,000th career steal to join Jason Kidd, Gary Payton, and John Stockton as only NBA players with at least 8,000 assists and 2,000 steals in their careers. He's ranked 9th in NBA history in assists, 12th in steals. Only player in NBA history with career averages of at least 18 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals a game. I mean, that's Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer, don't get me wrong. But that contract, no. Rockets, I told you guys they downgraded. Not only did they lose Trevor Ariza, they just lost Luke and Bob Mute to the Clippers. Which, I mean, I don't understand it, but whatever. Guys, not know that those were the top two defenders on this team. Not Chris Paul. Maybe he was number 3. He wasn't top dog. It's a lot of money you gave him. $21 million under James Harden. Under the beard. So when Chris Paul's contract is up, James Harden can opt out. guys know that. I just really hate this contract. What is they thinking? Now, here is a rumor for the Rockets. Could do something, but we shall see. The Rockets could trade Ryan Anderson, Anaku, and some draft picks to the Cavs for Kevin Love. This is just a rumor, but it sounds just about right. The Cavs failed to sign LeBron James. How do y'all think that worked out, too? If that trade did go through, 949-270-5945. Talk about Chris Paul's horrible contract, too. The Rockets are expected to be in the market for another superstar to pair Chris Paul and James Harden. They are. You look at Melo. That's a possibility. I mentioned that on Friday night. Then you look at Kevin Love. You can make the trade. The Rockets obviously need more star power on their team. You know, the Golden State Warriors, they just got DeMarcus Cousins. That's a star. I don't think it means anything. If you guys listened in Friday and I talked about it. One of their potential targets is definitely Kevin Love. LeBron James is gone. Get an all-star forward, you know, could be the next superstar to leave. Love would be a great addition to the Rockets. He can shoot the ball. Great on the offensive end. Not going to downplay him on the defensive side. The 59 games Kevin Love played last year, he averaged 17.5 points a game, 9.5 rebounds, 46% shooting from the field, and 41.5% from downtown. Spent 3 seasons playing with Kyrie and LeBron James, and he definitely won't have a hard time being the third scoring option next to James Harden and Chris Paul. So, there that is. The suggested trade, Ryan Anderson, Anaku, the 2019-2021 first-round picks to the Cavaliers. And it does work on the trade machine. The trade is undeniably a win-win situation for the Rockets. And they would definitely get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract. I mean, you get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract, I will congratulate the Houston Rockets. I will cheer for them. I would say job well done. But I know the Cavs will need to be blown away by an offer. And I can just lay there just for a bag of chips and a couple of pieces of cookies and things like that. Aside from the future first-round picks, it does remain questionable. The Cavs are willing to part ways with K-Love and definitely take Ryan Anderson. And Naka's a young, promising talent, though. I would tell you that. But the Cavs already have their center of the future, Zizic. He's really good. So, that'll be good. I don't know what they'll do with Tristan Thompson. I don't know if they had those two in at the same time. I think that'll be smart from Tyronn Lue, but whatever. We'll see what happens. They'll probably start Ryan Anderson. But I don't think the Cavs should get rid of Kevin Love. They shouldn't. The Cavs can make playoffs with Kevin Love on their roster. I believe that. I think a lot of people might agree. I know you're probably going to throw in the factor of, okay, Kevin Love has Tyronn Lue. So how is he going to do how is he going to make the playoffs with such a bad coach? Okay, maybe Tyronn Lue won't be that bad. Maybe Tyronn Lue is better than what we thought because he had LeBron James. Because, I mean, everybody talked about Eric Spoelstra not being a good coach. And I told you guys he was. And now look at him. He took that Miami Heat team to the playoffs. Don't give me the weak East because he was better than the Bucks. He was better than the Wizards. And he didn't have his best player in Deion Waiters. Yes, Deion Waiters is the best player unless you want to throw my face Hassan Whiteside. But guess what? Hassan Whiteside ain't show up at all. He was terrible. So maybe. I'm telling you, maybe it is LeBron James' factor. Maybe. Who knows? K-Love should stay. Cavs should, unless the Cavs get a blown away offer, they get offered, they just can't resist. Go ahead. Kevin Love wants to play ball. So if he's in Cleveland, he's going to play. He don't want out. He wants to play ball. Hey, I think he would love to be the man. If he stays in Cleveland, he's the man. Remember what he did when he was the man? giving you 25 points a game, 12 rebounds. Easy. Being dominant in the paint, knocking down an outside shot. That was all Kevin Love's game before he got traded. You knew it wasn't going to be the same. Now the same thing happened with Chris Bosh. The same thing. So I want to get in on 949-270-5945. The Knicks, they are deciding. Well, more on the Fizdale situation. He says, Ntilikina, Moutier, Trey Burke, I'm fighting for the point guard's starting position. He is definitely not in a hurry. First year in charge of this team. I think he's going to do a great job. He's a great coach. Gasol is so bad and so wrong. He's going to let him fight it out. I think it's great. You have three potential starters at point guard. Trey Burke had an outstanding year. And Trey Burke is back from when he was in Michigan. That was Trey Burke I was expecting to see his rookie year. And I'm sure everybody else. It seems like Ntilikina may be the best option. He's only a year removed from being an 8th overall pick in the draft. Did not have a great rookie season. Only 6 points, 3 assists. He only shot 32% from beyond the arc. But I like Ntilikina. I think he's a good player. Trey Burke played well after joining the team in January, averaging 13 points a game, 4.7 assists, just one turnover a game. Big time improvement for Trey Burke because what he was in Utah wasn't good and definitely in Washington wasn't good. I don't know if Moutier would get it, but I like Emmanuel Moutier. The Knicks had a minus 16.1 net rating with him on court over 22 games, which was the worst on the team. This should be a question of long-term answer. Earlier this month, Fizdale praised the efforts of Steve Mills and GM Scott Perry to lay the groundwork for the summer 2019, when those big names are all eligible for free agency, and Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Buckets. They think Kyrie is going to come to New York. I think it would be great for the city of New York because y'all need something. I mean, I want to see the Knicks in the playoffs. I love New York. I love the crowd. I feel like they deserve something. I mean, all they got is the Yankees. What they got? But Fizdale and the staff have a big-time opportunity to evaluate one of the three. And it's a lengthy rebuild because they're going to be rebuilding this year. Maybe next season they'll go on and make some things happen in the off-season, next summer. Maybe we sang something different. Maybe. I could be wrong. I'm just hoping. I can only hope for the best. For the Knicks. I think they deserve it. You know, he's trying to figure out a lineup to do with Chris Stapps. Trying to see if he can put Chris Stapps in small forward. I mean, he's capable. He has enough 7-3. It'd be great, you know, for them if that happens. For the Knicks, because it's just a big-time matchup nightmare. If it's still going to make it work. The Knicks will be exciting, too. I know I always say every team is going to be exciting. But I'm for real. I believe that. I really do. Now, more on this free agency thing. Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, Clint Capella. We're in the second week of NBA free agency. Things are definitely slowing down. Lynn Dilling isn't over yet. There isn't much money to go around as teams with significant cap space are few and far between. This means big time for Clint Capella, Jabari Parker, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas. Those are guys who are still left unsigned. There are other guys. As you see in the stars, that's LeBron James, take his talents to L.A. Golden State getting to Marcus Cousins. seen Paul George going back to OKC, Chris Paul returning to Rockets, KD going back to the Warriors. See Jokic going back to the Nuggets. Talked about Capella. He's still restricted. You know, this time 2 years ago, who would have thought that Capella would be one of the most coveted free agents in 2018? He's a big-time big man for the modern NBA. Showed that he can stay on the court with anyone during the playoffs. Defensive quickness is great. Shot blocking ability is great. I didn't realize he blocked shots that great when I seen him in the playoffs this past year. I know the Rockets want to retain him, but they might not be able to match if another team throws a max offer. And I was telling that to somebody yesterday. Somebody wanted to argue with me, but I said the Lakers wanted to offer him max money. Rockets wouldn't be able to do it. The horrible contracts. Terrible contracts. Know about DeAndre Jordan to the Mavericks. Just to give you an update on a lot of guys. Aaron Gordon. Said it. Mentioned it earlier. Being with the Magic. And Julius Randle. Pelicans 2-year deal. Marcus Smart is restricted right now. He has big time impact. He's made a big time impact for the Celtics over the course of his career. But how much are you willing to give him? And I've been kind of thinking that. I'm like, how much would I pay Marcus Smart? You know, he says things worth more than 12 to 15 million. That may be a too steep of a price for Mr. Ainge, one of the best GMs in the game. Big time defender, great intangibles, but he's one of the worst shooters in NBA history. So, I mean, we're going to see. The team might be desperate to do that, but whatever. JJ Redick for 76ers, Ariza talked about the Suns. Derek Favors signing that 2-year deal. I thought that was a big time contract, but whatever. Isaiah Thomas is a big question, too. Because it's now like, how far has he fallen? You know, it wasn't long ago that he was talking about bringing out the Brinks truck to pay him this summer. Instead, the market has dwindled. But a 5'9 guard got hurt last year, or, you know, the end of the other year, now we're in the playoffs. He averaged nearly 30 points a game 2 years ago for Boston. So a team can get some high value. Thomas is able to get healthy. Return this old form. That's what teams will be counting on for Isaiah Thomas. He is capable. If he's healthy, he's going to be great. I do believe that. I just don't know if he'd be healthy. Tyreke Evans with the Pacers. I thought that was huge. Somebody agreed with me on the Pacers being one of those teams in the East that could be trouble. And no one's talking about them. I finally have somebody that agrees with me with that. And it's not like Troy did not agree with me. But I will say, that's a great call. That's a big-time call. Jabari Parker is restricted. He has missed basically two whole seasons, had two ACL tears in his left. His own ability to put the ball in the basket when he's been on the court and healthy. Former number 2 overall pick has extended his range to three-point line, which is good. Could be a playmaking stretch four. If he can remain healthy, he would be great. Now, I think the Bucks are not going to re-sign him. I said that would be the idea to not do that. And Nurkic, Yusuf Nurkic, did agree to a 4-year deal with the Blazers. He did turn down a lucrative offer from Portland several months ago. Of course, you know about LaVine. Will Barton, I talked about him as 4-year deal with the Nuggets for Evan Vliet. And Bob Moutet just went to Clippers, discussed Avery Bradley, 2 years, Clippers, Rondo. 1 year with the Lakers. Wayne Ellington is unrestricted. Probably won't be as high on this list in any previous season, but he is just hitting shots like crazy. He's averaged career high 11 points a game last year, shooting 39% on three-pointers. A lot of teams will be looking at him. I won't even be surprised if he goes to the Lakers, go to Golden State, one of these contending teams who was willing to be pretty good. He's going to be good. Brooke Lopez, it's a 1-year deal with the Bucks. I think this is huge for the Bucks. I mentioned on here, I really think that's a big deal for the Milwaukee Bucks because, first off, I was just excited that they got a coach on their team. And it's no disrespect to Jason Kidd. You guys know that I love Jason Kidd as a coach. But when they fired him, they got Prunty. And like I say, no disrespect to him either. But they have to know that it wasn't Jason Kidd's fault. Look at the team. All you have is skinny guys with length. You don't have no big bodies. Not Brook Lopez. He ain't big, but he's a big guy. He can stretch his floor. He can knock down threes. You got yourself a guy who can post up. You if he could beat Brook Lopez when he was with the Brooklyn Nets, I mean, the Bucks is in some business. Big time business. They would be fun to watch. Hey, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, y'all going to have an interesting winter slash winter, maybe slash spring, because you already know about Green Bay, second best team in that division, and then you have this. And then maybe Wisconsin out of the Big Ten might be good in college football. And basketball, you're hoping to improve in college basketball because you've been so good for many years except last year. I didn't know it was like the first time since I've been born I've seen Wisconsin be bad in college basketball, but I digress. Moving on, KCP, one-year deal with the Lakers. Rudy Gay got a one-year deal with the Spurs. Rodney Hood, I talked about him earlier in the show. Joe Harris, I got a two-year deal with the Nets. Montrezl Harrell showed much more of a scoring touch last year than he previously did show in his NBA career. He has energy on both ends of the court. Undersized big man. He could get some strong offers. I do believe that. I like his talent. I loved him in college. He was Louisville. Dante Exum, a three-year deal. That was just a huge signing for Utah. I love it. Love the deal. Elfrid Payton got a one-year deal with Pelicans. That's good for Pelicans. Just the fact that you can have Payton start and you have Drew Holiday at two, you want to do that. The Moose, Greg Monroe, got a third chance in Boston last season. You know, falling out of rotation in both Milwaukee and Phoenix. Shows that he can be effective post-score. He's just great. He has great footwork. I've seen him live and in person with his footwork. It is amazing what he can do in the post. I love it. Nerlens Noel, two-year deal with OKC. I thought that was huge. Talented big man is coming off a rookie year. They're not risking much of as this deal includes player option in the second year, so we'll see. Dirk got a one-year deal with Mavs. Kyle Anderson. I thought I saw Kyle Anderson go somewhere. Now, I thought I've seen that. Now, I could be wrong. I really did think I saw Kyle Anderson. Spurs did not match him, and I remember seeing this yesterday, and I just looked it up. He's with the Grizzlies. I remember seeing this because I was like, well, yeah, he's restricted. Now he's officially going to be with the Grizzlies. I'm telling y'all this. I love the Grizzlies roster. I love it. They have some hard-working players on this team. Memphis can really... I ain't saying nothing. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I might just have to wait until October. I might just have to wait. And it might even be September when 2K come out because I look at the roster and I look at just how... I just be so amazed at the rosters. Ilyasova got a three-year deal with the Bucks. So the Bucks really is just making some moves. Aaron Baines, three-year deal with the Celtics. Beasley, still on the market. He's a walking bucket. He'll find a spot on the roster this offseason. No doubt. Always room for a player to put the ball in the basket. He is 29 years old. Big-time rebounder. You guys have seen him in college rebounding the ball, and even in the professional level, he's been rebounding the ball. And they just don't seem that way. D-Wade. Seems like he's just... I don't know if jumping from city to city, he's going to just go back to the Heat. But Brown call him. He might just go to L.A. and be like, okay, you know what? Let's do this. That might be right. Ed Davis, a one-year deal with the Nets. I think that's good. Great role player. I love Ed Davis. Jeff Green, one-year deal with the Wizards. Good fit for the Wizards. They've been making some moves. Amir Johnson, back with 76, one-year deal. Jeremy Grant, three-year deal with OKC. Bellinelli got a two-year deal. He's back with San Antonio. Sebastian Napier, unrestricted free agent. He was backing up Damian Lillard most of the year, and I was watching him a lot. I thought he had a pretty good year. He had strong playmaking ability, a scoring ability, doubled his career highs in points per game and minutes per game, and he would definitely be a solid backup for another team if the Blazers do not choose to have him back, which the Blazers would be okay. I believe they have a point guard. I can't remember. Seth Curry, two-year deal. Yeah, that's the point guard. Well, he's more of a shooting guard, but he can play point guard. Johnson, like I said, with the Knicks, I miss Balika, Nemanja Balika, one-year deal to the 76ers. They did lose Ersan Ilyasova, and they just bounced back by getting Balika. Doug McDermott, 3-year deal with the Pacers. That was awesome. When our people feel like that, it's not going to work, but hey, whatever. Whatever. I'm going to talk Trae Young. Do you guys think he's a bust? I want to know what y'all think about him. 949-270-5945. It's Trae Young. I've had my issues. Trae Young. He is hurt right now. And I don't think the injury is that serious anyway. It's not even going to just go too crazy on the injury that he has. But this is one thing I'd tell you about Trae Young. I think he'd be a better passer. He's fifth in the summer league in passing. I think I saw. I think he was number five. He was top five. Trae Young, first five games summer play. You know, what? You know, and I saw this question. What if he's better as a passer than a shooter? I've seen him shoot. He's been shooting. He's shooting from the logo. It's crazy that he's all net in this thing. It is. But I don't know if it's going to work when you go ahead and whenever the schedule come out, which would be sometime in August, I mean, we'll see who he plays first. Young led the NCAA in both scoring and assists during his lone season outcome. 30-foot threes off the dribble that caught everybody's attention. I thought everybody was just going crazy. And then, excuse me, gets in the tournament and screws the pooch. Plays bad. Does horrible. It isn't so surprising that Trae Young found far more success as a playmaker than a scorer so far in the NBA. First at the Utah Jazz Summer League, not the NBA Summer League in Las Vegas. During the 21 points against the Knicks. That was his highest scoring game this summer. And you finally saw a few of those long threes off the dribble go down. And the most part, they did not go in. Sometimes he's airballed. 6 of 35 on threes in this span. And most of them are long and heavily contested. That's my issue. He's done it in college, and he's bringing that to the pros. He's got to know when to shoot it, when not to shoot. Atlanta, you might have made a mistake. Everybody all into this, and everybody want to get rid of Dennis Schroeder because they got Trae Young. You sure you want to get rid of Dennis Schroeder? Atlanta fans, are you sure you want to get rid of Dennis Schroeder? The only reason I would get rid of Dennis Schroeder because of his off-the-court actions. That's it. But Dennis Schroeder is your scorer. 19.5 points a game. Yeah, 43% is bad. Yes, 29% is bad from downtown. But you know what? He has to carry this team offensively. Played 67 games. Ken Bazeman, 65. I am going to watch because I like John Collins on this team. Schroeder, Bazemore. Love those guys. Love those players. Got Plumlee. Deadman last year. And I like Deadman. Didn't show up that much. Got John Collins. All these young guys. We're gonna see what they're going to do. Can't get rid of Dennis Schroeder. I know that's your most guaranteed contract. If you think you could get something for him, I mean, hey, you want to rebuild for the next 3-4 years? I mean, you're not making the playoffs. But come on, Atlanta. Back to Mr. Trae Young. The quality of the shots it hasn't been any better than the results. Low percentage shooting is just crazy. Inside the arc, slightly more accurate, 32% inside the arc. Young always has to finish over the big defenders in the paint. 6'2". He struggled in college doing that. 53.5% shooting on attempts at the rim was the lowest among NCAA players drafted in this year's first round. That lets you know, Atlanta, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Duh.
What are you thinking? I don't know. I know he makes some impressive reverse finishes, all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got to get that floater going, too. I paid attention to this guy. Because I just want to be right about this guy. That he's just nothing. That Dennis Schroeder. Hey, he's like, okay, y'all going to talk about him? Guess what? Hi, I'm Dennis Schroeder. Hello, I'm Dennis Schroeder. Trae Young is drawing enough defensive attention out of the pick and roll, set up teammates for open looks, though, on a regular basis. That's why I think he's going to be a great passer. I've never had a problem with passing the ball. Now, he does have the ball a lot, which is going to force him to turn the ball over. He turned it over a lot. He has 6 assists in his 4 full games. So he had averaging 6 assists, I should say, in his 4 full games. And he had 11 against the Knicks. Easily could have had more with better shooters around. Don't know if Atlanta shoot. I mean, Ken Bazemore can knock it down. Taryn Prince is knocking him down. Hey, Dennis Schroeder going to be like, hey, you know what? Hand me the ball. Me and you can go side to side. Trae Young ain't starting anyway. I mean, if he's starting, it's got to be because Dennis Schroeder is not playing. I'm not going to start Trae Young and Dennis Schroeder. I would rage. I would rage come the end of October. That happens. Excuse me. I think if he thinks pass first, I think Trae Young has a very bright future if he thinks pass first. Don't go out. Try to be the hero. Don't do it. Make your teammates better. I know your team isn't all of that. Don't have the best shooters in the world. But you can make them better. You never got to be the shooting. Don't have to be that way. No. That easy for Trae Young. I have to. I've been on the NBA for a while. I have to go to baseball. I don't know if I agree with the All-Star roster. Oh, no. Did I be... Because Chris Archer was upset about Blake Snell. It's going to be a great All-Star game, too. I can't wait to discuss it. It is next week. For those that don't know, yeah, the All-Star game is next week. I can't wait to the Home Run Derby next Monday. Next Tuesday, the All-Star Game, Nationals Park, Washington, D.C. I was hoping to be there this year and do the show there. But maybe next year, wherever the All-Star Game would be at. Wherever it be at. Because I just don't... Let's get to this All-Star team roster. We can talk where to be at next year, next time. This definitely started off with Blake Snell. And I know that the Detroit Tiger made the All-Star game and Joe Jimenez, a late inning reliever having a good season. He's not having a great season. He made the squad. Blake Snell is having a phenomenal season for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, Chris Archer is very upset, and right now, Chris Archer is looking like he's going to give up some runs to the Tigers in this third inning. And finally got his first out because the bases was loaded. Tigers had it going. Get to the scores later on. But back to Blake Snell. 12-4. 2.09 ERA. He has more strikeouts than innings pitched. I look at that. That is very important of a stat to me. He's thrown 12 home runs, 44 walks. 27 earned runs. Good old Chris Archer has more earned runs, and he's played 6 less games than Blake Snell. Blake Snell pitched the most out of every starter on the Tampa Bay Rays team, and he did not make an All-Star. Now, I know you're probably like, okay, well, what is Joe Jimenez doing? I'm very interested. I don't watch the Tigers, or I'm just not watching baseball this year. Well, let me answer this. Joe Jimenez is 4-1 this year. That's a reliever. He's a reliever. 2.85 ERA. Not bad. It's good. Now, he does have more strikeouts than innings pitched. 46 strikeouts, 41 innings pitched. But for Blake Snell not to make it, how does Joe Jimenez make it? It's a flawed system. Big time flaw. You know, picking which snub was most snub was very hard. When you look at all of these players, they're all having all-star caliber seasons across the league. I don't know if this is the biggest snub, but I happen to take a look at this. 949-270-5945. Get on all-star game. MLB. Jesus Aguilar from the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee has the best record in the National League. I've said it in March. They got some newcomers, and Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. The reason why they're so good, Brewers fans will definitely tell you. And this is another Milwaukee-Wisconsin team that you really want to pay attention to, I guess. They'll tell you that Aguilar has been a rock in the middle of that lineup. Milwaukee's 2-1 win over the Cardinals on the 22nd is a big-time example. Brewers only managed to get 3 hits, but 2 of those were solo shots. Jesus Aguilar. Broke up Jack Flaherty's no-hit attempt in the 7th. Got a walk-off homer in the 9th. Aguilar is batting 301. Leads the National League with 22 home runs. Has a .633 slugging percentage, and he's not All-Star. How is he not All-Star? You can look at Jay Lowry. He's not an All-Star. And we have watched him because he tortured us on Fireworks Week here in Detroit. Only one second baseman has more home runs than RBIs than Lowry. Checks in at 16 home runs, 62 RBIs. That is Javi Baez, who is having a tremendous, tremendous year. But Javi Baez is on the National League. A's have won 16 in their last 20 games. Lowry has a 1.066 OPS. 20 RBIs in that stretch. This is a snub at second base. Kansas City, Whit Merrifield, is having a fine year. But the player vote sunk his chances. It got Gleyber Torres voting in at second base. And they chose Sal Perez. I don't know what's going on here. It's a royal thing. Jay Lowry deserves to be there. Gene Segura, shortstop, Mariners. Batting average is far from a perfect stat, but Segura is batting .330 on the season. A number that's third in all of baseball. Not third among shortstops. Not third in American League West players. Not third at American League hitters. Third in the majors. .827 OPS. 47 RBIs, and he's batting first or second in order with 47 RBIs. Who do you know now? I will give you this. It's 14 stolen bases. I have a resume that's very all-star worthy. Shortstop position is that. Talented players in American League. Jordan Simmons. Line up with Mike Trout. Best defensive shortstop in baseball. Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa. Excellent years. Didi Gregorius, 15 homers, 10 stolen bases. Of course, you know National League, Trey Turner. I know you guys are like Frankie Lindor. I don't think Frankie Lindor is in the starting lineup, but I have to look at that. Max Muncy of the Dodgers, who had just announced that he will be in a home run derby. Your All-Star game is an incredible place to celebrate baseball's best stories. This guy is out of nowhere. This is the reason why the Dodgers are actually in position to win their respective division. Playing the San Diego tonight. It'll be a good matchup. Kershaw against Perdomo. Be something to look at tonight. Played 95 games for the A's in the 2015-2016 season. That's where I remembered him from. He batted 195. OPS .611. He was cut at the end of spring training of the last season. Dodgers signed him, and he spent the season in AAA, batting 309 with 12 homers in 109 games, and this was in OKC. It's a bit of a surprise that he popped 20 homers and has a 1.017 OPS in 67 Major League games. Started games at first, third, and second, and he played outfield six times as well. Baseball should just celebrate this, but he will be in a home run derby, so you will get a look at him next Monday. I'm hyping you up, Max. I'm hyping you up. It would have been nice for the national fans to cheer for Rendon in his home park. You know, he's putting up excellent numbers, 280 average, 12 homers, OPS of .858. Matt Carpenter had been in the leadoff spot all season. He might have been a no-brainer. But in 40 games since he was moved back to the leadoff spot on May 26th, Carpenter had 13 home runs, 36 runs scored at .412 on base percentage, OPS 1.070. Entering May 26th, he had 4 home runs and .318 on base percentage and a .685 OPS. So that tells you that. Now, this is where it gets interesting in outfielders. I'm telling you, I have to spend a lot of time on this. I'm sorry, but you guys will get boring with baseball. But I have to. Outfielders. Eddie Rosario from the Twins, Andrew Benintendi, Red Sox, Castellanos of the Tigers. I'm not being a homer. I'm not. I promise you guys. Here's, let's see, MVP candidates. You should at least have been All-Star backup. That's what you're probably thinking. But Eddie Rosario, 18 homers, 53 RBIs. This is a Minnesota team. Eddie Rosario is a very good team. 301 average, OPS, .878. Benintendi has 14 homers, 16 stolen bases. Not many guys to have at least that many of both stats. Just three other players. Mookie Betts, Jose Ramirez, Javi Baez. And that's a 65 run score. I'm going to add that to 65 run score. .894 OPS. That's your All-Star. The Tigers are going to have only the minimum one All-Star representative. It just feels wrong to have guys who rank 13th on the team. But that's how it worked for Joey Jimenez. And it's not off for Castellanos. This team with a 2.0 BWAR to go with 15 homers, 55 RBIs, and a 133 OPS plus. Aside from those three, there aren't really any I can't believe they got left off outfielders. Like, Odubel Herrera is having a solid year for the Phillies. David Peralta for the Diamondbacks. That's the one guy I can count on for the Diamondbacks. Guys with eye-catching numbers like Brandon Nemo, you look at Giancarlo Stanton, Kyle Schwarber, you can't sleep on him, Albert Almora. Yadier Molina not being in there is big time. There's only one catcher who have more home runs than Yadier Molina, and that's Gary Sanchez, 14. Molina has 13. JT Realmuto has a better slugging percentage. He's fun to watch, JT Realmuto. Like, he is the one batter I want to watch in Marlins because the Marlins don't have anybody anymore. They got rid of D. Gordon, got rid of Christian Yelich, got rid of Marcelo Zuna, got rid of Giancarlo Stanton. Am I missing anybody else? That's about half their lineup. Anyway, no huge issue, though, because Francisco Cervelli has a .392 on base percentage. Kurt Suzuki has really been good for the Braves, and he's 34. DH, Shohei Ohtani. He was a better pitcher than he was later. The Astros are lacking representation, but Gattis does have 18 homers with 62 RBIs on the year. 8 homers and 30 RBIs in the past 24 games. He's been great. I've mentioned Blake Snell and Fred Caisset. James Paxton had a bumpy start to the season. Had a 5.12 ERA in April. When his past 13 starts, 2.90 ERA. He got a no-hitter and also struck out 16 in a different game. So he's worthy. Kyle Freeland, 3.18 ERA in 18 starts this year. The Rockies. I talked about Rockies pitching. Has to be good. He's actually been better at home. The 2.89 ERA in 7 starts. Then on the road, a 3.38. But we'll take that. Ross Stripling. Started as mostly a rotation afterthought. And now he's taking advantage. 2.22 ERA. 10.4 strikeout per 9 rate. 89. And a third inning. These are the Dodgers. Adam Ottavino. He has some crazy pitches. That slider is so good. That slider is good. 63 strikeouts, 21 hits allowed. He's been great. And he's not even in there. Joe Jimenez is in there. Adam Ottavino is not. You guys are like, okay, he is raging. Because why? Well, I just gave it to you. Spent a lot of time on it. But I just had to let it be known. This is going to be a good All-Star game. I will admit, it will be fun. It should be a very good game. I want to try to get the lineup here. If I can, the pitchers that they do have on the American League, AJ Hinch is your manager, The pitchers, Trevor Bauer, Jose Berrios, Rodas Chapman, Garrett Cole, Edwin Diaz, Jay Happ, Joe Jimenez. I don't understand it. Craig Kimbrell, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, Luis Severino, Blake Trinan, JV, who is inactive. Salvi Perez, catcher, Wilson Ramos, catcher. Jose Abreu, well-deserved. Sexton Lexton, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman got his first, Frankie Lindor, Manny Machado, Mitch Moreland got his first selection, Jose Ramirez, second straight, Gleyber Torres got in there, outfielders, Mookie Betts, Michael Brantley, Shin-Soo Chu, and Mitch Haniger, first-timers, Aaron Judge, George Springer, Mike Trout, of course, Nelson Cruz, J.D. Martinez, his second All-Stars, and then National League, this year pitchers, Patrick Corbin, second time being in there. Jacob DeGrom. Sean Doolittle. Mike Fotonowicz, his first. Josh Hader, well-deserved, his first. Brad Hand, his second. He's great. Kenley Jansen, his third. John Lester's fifth. I don't know if John Lester should have made it. Miles Mikolas, first. Aaron Nola, his first. Well-deserved. Mad Max Scherzer. Felipe Vasquez. The catchers, Wilson Contreras. Buster Posey, JT Realmuto. The infielders, Ozzy Albies, the rookie, first-timer. Nolan Arenado, well-deserved. Javier Baez, first-timer. Brandon Crawford, second. Freddie Freeman. Scooter Jeanette. Paul Goldschmidt. Scooter Jeanette's first one. Trevor Story's first. Eugenio Suarez, first. Cincinnati Reds have taken over. Offensive side, Joey Votto. The outfielders, Charlie Blackman. Lorenzo Cain. Bryce Harper. Matt Kemp, Nick Markakis, first. Christian Yelich is first. I don't think Bryce Harper should have been in there. I am going to be honest. Bryce Harper has been just awful this year. I mean, I hope that him being in this All-Star game, he gets better. I hope this just makes him. Now, he would have been in the home run derby, and I think that's probably what he needs. Now, he does have 21 home runs. I know you're probably like, okay, what do you mean he's having a horrible season? This guy can't get on base. His on-base percentage is .374. It's looking like his on-base percentage 2 years ago, .373. And his worst was .340, which was his rookie year. But his batting average is the lowest of his career at .218. Slugging .472. I mean, I know. This season can't be worse 2016. He has to do better this season. He had 86 RBIs. He had 24 home runs, played 147 games. So don't give me no injury. He was hurt last year. Really like he was going to have an MVP type year. He had a very good year last year. Is he still hurt? What's going on here? Come on, Bryce. Get it together. I need you to wake up second half of the season, because if you're going to come to my Yankees, you got to be ready to go. Come on, Harper. Get it going. Get it going, my buddy. Now, I want to get in on some weekend action that I saw. I will start with the Cubs. I will start with the Cubs yesterday. They do have a day off today. But I'll tell you this. I love this song. I just heard this song yesterday. I know I'm late. I don't know if you baseball fans have heard this, and definitely Chicago fans, you're going to be like, okay, how you not know this song? If it plays. Because, I mean, I'm not getting it. Oh, I love it. They were chanting this. And the reason being that they were chanting this because they came back. And I believe this was Saturday. Let me see. I just want to make sure I get my days right. And it might have been yesterday. It was Saturday because I don't remember watching it yesterday. They rally for four in the eighth inning. They're just rallying. They do it every day. Every game, they just rally and win. But this game was so hype. Because Javi Baez is just your energy guy. They love Javi Baez. And they cheer for him. Chicago fans, they cheer for Javi Baez. And when the game was over with, when Brandon Morrow came in, got the save, and it's easy. Brandon Morrow's really good on pitching. They were singing that Go Cubs Go song. And I just turned into a fan of that song. But I'll let you know this. Because the Brewers, I'm asking, should we respect the Brewers? You guys want to come in? We'll spend a few minutes on it. You guys, we can spend a lot of time on it. 949-270-5945. Should we respect the Brewers? Because I've said it last year. They cannot beat the Cubs when it matters. The Cubs is a 1.5 games out the first place in that division. NL Central. Brewers are playing better than what probably a lot of people expected. Told you about Jesus Aguilar on the team. Travis Shaw. Ryan Braun just got on 10. Data missing Pena. They got Arcia. It's not hitting well. I've talked about them start of this. And it's funny because I forgot that Tyler Saladino, I saw him yesterday playing. But this Milwaukee team, I want them to do so well because I like Lorenzo Cain. I like Christian Yelich. But I do think the Cubs are the best team in the National League. I think it's so easy to say that. I would love to see the Astros versus the Cubs. I think that would be a great World Series. I think October, the end of October, beginning of November, you have a great World Series on your hands. And I hope I'm right. Right now, I think those would be the matchups. If you were to ask me who would I pick out of the American League, it would be the Astros. It won't be the Red Sox. And it won't be the Yankees. It would be the Astros. In the National League, if you were to ask me, it would be the Chicago Cubs. You're like, what about the Braves? I'll tell you this. The Braves are going to play the Cubs in the NL Championship game. The only way. Now, the Braves got to start winning. The Phillies are playing some big-time baseball. They just lose. They're 49-39 now. Atlanta have a day off. I'm telling y'all, man. It's coming down. I mean, after this All-Star, it's going to be great. Atlanta has a series with Toronto. I think this is going to be a good game tomorrow. Stroman against Teherán. Just on paper, it's just a good matchup. Just on paper. The NL Central is going to be close. Now, the Cardinals, I think the Cardinals is one of those teams, if they were just, they could have just stayed healthy. Because they're missing some guys. They can stay healthy. It could be good. I'm missing some pitchers. Michael Wacha. Wacha Wacha. Adam Wainwright. He ain't been the same. He's on a 60-day. Gregerson. Leon. Lyons. Reyes. They're missing guys. And that's why they're struggling. If they were healthy, they would be in place for this division. They just stay healthy. I know it. I know it. Those would be my teams. And it's no disrespect to Milwaukee. None at all. I think the Cubs, this is where, okay, Cubs, you guys can go in, take the National League by storm, because the Dodgers have every chance to face the Cubs as well in the NLCS, the Championship Series. The Dodgers coming in, I thought was the best team in the National League. But the eye test is showing me the Cubs. Because the Cubs offensively is actually good this year. Javi Baez has gotten into something. And I don't know what it is. Now the Dodgers, they got a good story going on. Yasiel Puig got to get healthy. I remember I was talking bad about Yasiel Puig on Friday. Then stepped up Saturday. Stepped up last night in their game. Now he's on a 10-day DL. Get well soon, Puig. Me and Puig have a love-hate relationship. That's my guy. Loved him since I seen him come the first day. He has an amazing debut. I think the Dodgers will make the playoffs too, by the way. I really do think that. But my question is right now in the American League. Do I start taking that Oakland A's serious? I'm going to say no. This matchup, this series with the Astros is so important to me. The Oakland A's, I've mentioned it, won 6 of the last 20 games. They came here in Detroit and pie out. Beat us to the bloody pulp. 10 games over 500. I will say great improvement. Bob Melvin. One of the best managers. They were 75-87 last year. Let's not forget that. I was talking about this team last year. Chris Davis was great. Wasn't hit for average. I mean, he never hit for average anyway. Did lose Ryan Healy to the Mariners. Jed Lowry is playing amazing for this team. Chris Davis is always around that 247, 250 batting average. They got Luke Roy. The pitching staff has been good. They're just hurt now, but they're still capable. Trevor Cahill, they need him. Andrew Triggs, they need him. Now, Blake Trinan, tough. He's tough out the bullpen. Lou Trevino, tough out the bullpen. I would even say Emilio Pagan, tough out the bullpen. They're playing better than what we expected. How would they play going forward? They got the Astros. They took two from Cleveland. They shut them out yesterday. Good win. Good win, Oakland. Thought Cleveland would put y'all to the test. Good win. Going to Cleveland. Now you're in Houston. See what happens. Four-game series. The early game will be Thursday. I'll holler at you Thursday night about it. The series. They go to San Francisco. I think that'll be tough. And then San Francisco comes there after All-Star. All-Star break. For a three-game series. Go to Texas. They go to Colorado. Oakland has a chance. Really make something happen. If they can win this four-game series, they can take 3 out of 4. Maybe Thursday night I'm on a different note. Or maybe I just wait until next Monday when I go through half the season, the halfway mark, recap the whole season. What do I like? What trades? Did any trades happen? We'll see. So I've enjoyed this so far. I really did. I really have been enjoying this. Really have. Now, I like to talk football. And I usually wait until we get to August to really get into it. So, just know when August hit, we're going to be talking football heavy. Be sure. Because we're going to preview divisions. We're going to preview this. We're going to get ready for... preseason. Madden comes out. I do a simulator. For those that don't know, I do simulators. Simulations on all games. But the thing is, Philip Rivers. It was a little issue with Philip Rivers being the 13th best quarterback. They're saying that this is QBs in the NFL top 100 rank. And once this stuff just stops popping up here, I mean, I would gladly be Tom Brady and Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz, you're like, okay, well-deserved. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. Why is Deshaun Watson ahead of Philip Rivers? Why is Case Keenum? And Rich Eisen made a great point. Deshaun Watson didn't play a lot of games. He didn't. Keenum? No, seriously. Case Keenum? I mean, did we forget what Philip Rivers did last year? Did we forget? I'm not being biased. For those that have listened to me, knowing that I am a Chargers fan, I've been a Chargers fan 14 years now. I've been a Chargers fan for this long. I want them to win. Philip Rivers, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's good. That's good. Over 4,000 yards. How is Case Keenum ahead of him? How is Case Keenum ahead of Philip Rivers? Because the team was 11-3. Well, he was the quarterback. He was 11-3. Or 13-3 in the season. I know Philip Rivers was 9-7. That ain't his fault. His kicker decides not to show up. They started the season off 0-4. I said, okay, don't let this team make the playoffs. But then I know, go ahead and throw the game at Kansas City in my face. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. The Saturday night game. Terrible game. All you had to do is win that game. Easy. Because you got the Jets. You got Oakland. And Oakland sucks. You got the Jets. The Jets suck. All you have to do is beat Kansas City. We're struggling. And you couldn't do it. Yes, I know. But Deshaun Watson. What has Deshaun Watson shown me? Great flashes. That he can be one of the best. But he shouldn't be ahead of Philip Rivers just yet. Let's be fair. Top 100 rankings. I've mentioned this before. I hate top 100. I hate it. I hate the rankings. I hate ranking systems. It irks my nerves. It does. Matthew Stafford's ahead of him. If Matthew Stafford's going to be ahead of Jared Goff, Watson, and Keenum, why isn't Philip Rivers top 10 in? Why? He's the 56th best player, Philip Rivers. Then we got Jimmy G up there. Derek Carr. Up there, Kirk Cousins. He's in the bottom four of that list. But you know what? The Rivers. They're disrespecting you, my man. Ain't no Dak. Ain't no Mariota. Ain't no Luck. Ain't no Winston. Ain't no Alex Smith. Drew Brees rose 8 spots. Russell Wilson went up 3. Roethlisberger went up 4. Hey, I mean, Phillip Rivers did go up. But I don't think it's fair. I think he should be even higher. Just my little rant on that. Scores around the baseball league, you guys. And for those that want to talk to me via Twitter, I am Devontae Little. Search it. You will find me. I will talk sports with you at any time. Anytime. And anything. Let's have fun. Pittsburgh is up 6-2 on Washington. I like the over in the game. 9.5. Every Nationals game the Saints has been going over, and they have not pitching. They are not pitching well. I mean, Jeffrey Rodriguez is terrible today. Juan Soto did a home run. Polanco got a home run today. He's having a good game. The Reds and the Indians. Reds are 4-1. It's a good game. Long balls. Joey Votto at number 9. Yonder Alonso at number 13. 0-4-1. Milwaukee-Miami. Oh, yeah, I also like the over in that game. Milwaukee-Miami. I believe I like the over. I can't remember. But Jesus Aguilar got another home run, by the way. Number 23. Said I should have been All-Star. Tampa Bay Rays are up 7-3 as Wilson Ramos. It seems like he's in the home run every game. Nico Goodrum has 19 doubles for the Tigers. That's good stuff. He's a switcher. And he saw Chris Archer for the first time. I haven't seen Chris Archer before. Chargers getting up 3 runs, but he can still get the win. Tampa Bay has been scoring a lot of runs lately. Well, I've noticed that. Had a good weekend. Texas and Boston. I picked Boston. They got a new pitcher out there, Eduardo Rodriguez. He wasn't supposed to start today, but came out there. Steve Pierce showing up now. 5th home run. Scored JD. Yankees are up 1 zip. They did lose the first game of the doubleheader, 5-4. And Didi Gregorius scored that knocked in the run. Kansas City's up 1 zip. Didn't touch it. Philadelphia and the Mets. Bottom of the 3rd. I think I picked it under. I think I did. I don't know. I can't remember. Well, I picked Philly. Aaron Nola's up. And the Mets won in extras. Thanks to Mr. Wilmer Flores. They had to challenge the play. Homer. Homer off the left field foul pole, and that was that. Wimbledon, real quick. For those that's new, I am a tennis fan. I love Wimbledon. This should be easy for Serena Williams. It should be. She don't have to face a top 10 player. Pliskova lost to Bertens today. The highest seed is Angelique Kerber. Serena will get Georgi tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow's the 10th, right? So there you go. On the men's side, I don't even know what's going on the men's side. Now, I haven't paid attention to the men's side. But the women's side, I did see Federer is on fire, of course. He's on grass. What do you expect? All I know is, let's see, Wanda Potro game got delayed, and that's going to be tomorrow, and then you'll see Federer against Anderson, Rannick against Isner. Oh, Djokovic against Nishikori on Wednesday will be fun. I'll hype it up a little more, I guess. Be a little more exciting. That, Nadal did advance. So I believe he's waiting on the winner of Wanda Potro and Simon. Should be good. Man's side has been great. Just great matchups. I know most of these guys, so. Great matchups on the Wimbledon. Serena, I think, should win this now. And it wasn't even like, I didn't even think she would win anyway. She has, her chances just went up. And it's always, she's always a favorite anyway because it's Serena Williams. Serena Williams is that deal. But, you know, like I said, we shall see. You never know. Anything can happen in tennis. But now let's, I want to read off some stats real quick before I get off air. Max Muncy has 25 career home runs. Will be participating in the 2018 Home Run Derby. The only non-rookie to have fewer than 30 home runs at the time of the Home Run Derby appearance. It's Ken Griffey Jr. in 1990 at 28. We talk about Summer League. I didn't even go inside Summer League, but these are stats I see. I love the ESPN stats and info. That's what I get. Things you see at NBA Summer League. Furkan Korkmaz scored 40 points Friday for the 76ers. The most in Summer League since 2000, almost in 1999. He is 1 for 18 from the field, 0 for 12 from downtown. 5 points, 2 games. I talked about Wilmer Flores' home run. He hit another walk-off from the Mets. He has 4 career walk-off home runs. Tied for most in Mets history. I didn't know that. He has 10 total walk-offs. And that's the most in Mets history, breaking the tie with David Wright. I've always seen his name in walk-offs when the Mets win. I do know that much. I talked about the Rockets losing and Bob Mute and Trevor Reese this offseason. They're two best defenders. I saw that already. I mentioned that. Let's see. We talked about the upsets on the women's side of the Wimbledon. No top 10 seed reaching the quarterfinals for the first time in a major in the open era. This is the first time. Those upsets have favored Serena Williams, who won't see an opponent with a single-digit ranking through the rest of the tournament. Potential opponents at 2018 Wimbledon, which is Georgie, who I just talked about, gorgeous, and then she could face Angelique Kerber, who I said had the highest rank that's still left. So that is the possibility. And I would love to see Angelique Kerber. Djokovic won a straight set and advanced his 41st major quarterfinal. That matches Jimmy Connors for the second most by a man in the open era. Djokovic and Connors trail only Roger Federer, who has 53. Of course, you know Federer is great on the grass. CeCe Sabathia entered today 3.02 ERA this season. Now, if it holds, that'll be his lowest, second lowest ERA before the All-Star break in his career. His previous low was 2.72 in 2011, and he finished fourth in the Cy Young Award voting. Nadal makes his first Wimbledon quarterfinals since 2011, where he's a perfect 5-0 in his career. Only Yvonne Lindy, 7-0. It's more Wimbledon quarterfinal wins without a loss in his career. In at all. Kershaw is not an all-star, but he can still hit another milestone tonight. He's 2 innings pitched away from 2000 in his career. Since earned runs became official, 12 for the National League, 1913 American League, only 3 pitchers with at least 2000 innings pitched have a career ERA lower than his 2.38, which shows Hippo Vaughn and Eddie. Eddie C. Some stats I love to see. So, of course, Serena got her 90th Wimbledon win. Win against Rodina. 90th. Passing her sister, Venus Williams, for third most, who was also playing Wimbledon, but did lose. So, just some stats to really look at. We'll get to more stats tomorrow. Tomorrow's show, I will break down some more. Some more. Baseball. If anything NBA happens, it will be a shorter show because it's baseball season. But I want you guys to join the conversation. To join the conversation on baseball topics. It's going to be great. See you guys tomorrow. Have a great Monday.